Oh God, we thank you for your word this afternoon. We thank you for your presence. Oh God, I mean, I just humbly submit myself to you, Lord. May your word bring life to all of us tonight, Lord. Let, as you breathe it upon us, Lord, make it alive for us, Lord. Make it flesh in us, Lord. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, Lord. And may it be your word spoken, Father, not my opinion, God, in Jesus' name. Let your kingdom be established in this place, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This evening I want to do one of the most difficult things that a shofar pastor can attempt. And that is to preach something that Fred preached. Okay, so please bear with me. I hope you have lots of time. I'm just going to wait. I'm going to put this timer thingy on. It helps me. Wait, let me just get this right. Yes, Fred ministered on this about a week ago, so it might be good to go and listen to the original version as well. But I'm going to try my best to convey what he has communicated. And it's really an exciting word. It's in line with what God is doing now. And praise God. It's also part of this whole celebration that we can enjoy together. So I feel far away. Okay. Let's start. Let's read from Psalm 92. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Now, right here from the start, we see that even as God is a designer God, okay? If you look at the all of creation around us, and that's one of the most amazing things when you look at the intricate detail of organisms and everything around us in creation. It's difficult for me to see this whole evolution thing. I know some people struggle with that thing, but for me it's so clear, it's so evident, it's so gloriously evident that there's an intelligent designer and there's a purpose and there's a plan behind everything we see around us. And in the same way, God has a design and He has a purpose and a design for us, the body of Christ, for us to be a certain way, for the body, the church of Jesus Christ, to operate in a certain way. And right here we see a part of that. We see, and we see it also in the life of Jesus. Right after the start of His ministry, he went to the wedding feast, and His mom had to kind of encourage Him a little bit. And then the first miracle happened, and water was turned into wine. And then soon after that, Jesus went to the temple and basically cleansed the temple. And He made it very clear that His Father's house should not be a place with just a lot of programs and a lot of activities and a lot of focus on stuff and on things, but the Father's house should be a house of prayer, should be a place where people can pray, the focus should very clearly be on the heart of God and worshiping and prayer, okay? And then a little bit later on in His ministry, towards the end of His ministry, we see the same similar situation causes havoc there in the temple, overturns the tables. He kind of very strongly, very almost violently communicates that this is not what we should have. This, if you compare it to today, where the focus shouldn't be on the decor or the color of the church or the fair or the amount of money we raise or whatever. The programs and the activities, but He's saying the focus should stay on the main focus. and this wasn't His focus, to have it be on all these activities and things. And in life and most things, you can have it's a good motto to always keep the main thing. Okay, and this is what He's saying here. He's always saying, He's saying this was not His intention for church. He wants us to stay focused on what the main thing was. And what we believe that is, and what we see God's heart manifesting is that for us as the body of Christ to truly be there, to be the body, so that the head is in control of the body. That there is an intimate relationship between the body and the head, Jesus. Okay, so that it's not that, you know, the body does its own thing and the head is kind of trying to communicate and there's nothing happening, but that there's the intimate relationship, that we are actually at a point where we can connect with God, to a place that we can have an intimate relationship, and out of that intimacy and out of that place of relationship, we can be His hands and feet. We can actually and grow to a place where we can even speak on His behalf, which is an amazing thought, but represent God in such a way that because we come from a place of intimate relationship, we can represent Him in a way that is true to who He is. And we can be a conduit of His love, conduit, channel of His grace, and kind of just, you know, literally be the body of Christ on the earth. So that's exciting, and it's also a bit intimidating and maybe scary, but that is the big part of this desire for us and His design for us. And if we don't really connect with God, if we aren't really representing Him, and if He can't speak through us, then we're actually just another club, social club, and we have fun together and we do some things together, and there's no real divine purpose behind it. Okay, so you know, often when people ask me, you know, about what I do, or what, you know, people often ask what denomination do we belong to? So then I have to try and explain, oh, we're not part of a denomination as such. And I gave examples of kind of what we're similar to. And then often what I say is, our desire is to move towards God's design for church. We're not there yet, but we want to get to God's design for His body. What we see in Scripture, what we see in the New Testament specifically, and that's what we're going towards. So I want to say, I believe we're on the right track. Actually, in terms of prayer and in terms of being a house of prayer, I also believe we're on the right track. We're committed to prayer, we're committed to intercession. And it's something that God is still doing in us, but I believe this word that God has laid in Fred's heart and what I'm sharing now is a key to bringing us further down that road, further onto the road to the place that He wants us to be in. Okay, so that's what we're looking at today. Now, quickly, if we look at kinds of different kinds of prayers, there's quite a few different kinds. We're looking to launch Bible school in October. We're going to try and do Tooting and Wimbledon together. So if you haven't done Bible school, please watch the space. Look out for that. At the moment, we want to see if we can start on the 11th of October. And really excited about that. So there's a whole module on prayer. So there's lots of different kinds of prayer. But now the one that we pray the most, who can guess? The kind of prayer that we all kind of very well versed in is the God help me prayer. Okay? And this is amazing because not only believers pray this prayer. Okay, I'm sure you've noticed. Apparently there are no atheists on a falling plane. I haven't been on one, praise God. But I've heard, you know, I don't know, but apparently, you know, people are quick to change their theology. I've never heard somebody call out to Darwin or to Dawkins or any of these guys in a bad spot. So this, God help me, I'm in a jam, I'm going to die, please help me, pray. We've all got that down, okay? We know what to pray. When we're in a jam, we're in a tight spot, okay, we know how to pray this prayer. Okay, then the second one which we often do. This first one is called the prayer of supplication. Okay, so we bring our supplication to God. We are in the problems. We call for His help. We call for God to intervene. Amen. The second one is we call it the prayer of petition, when we ask God for a specific thing. Okay, we've got that one as well. Lord, I'm looking for whatever it is, for a house or a car or a job or a wife or a husband or whatever, you know, whatever the need is, the key is there, God, I need, and then dot, 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 you fill in the blanks, we pray this prayer. And often we we don't do just one, we do a list. We have a shopping list, and that's amazing. God, the amazing thing, God is God responds because He's a giver. God is a giving God. The scripture says, you know, God so loved the world that He gave. So that out of that love, we see the giving heart of God. And just as we've just heard from these amazing testimonies tonight, God is a good God and He gives. Okay? So He responds to our prayers of God, I need or I want, or God, I'm in a jam. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, calling out to God in these situations. But we got these prayers covered, okay? I'm sure we're all good at that. And even just looking at the missions and how the missions program is doing well, the one thing that we do, I believe, is a key to that the reason that we are able to send out so many, is that every team member, I'm sure it still works like this, but when we did it, we'll continue like that, is that every person on the team, for every day of the mission, they have one person praying and fasting for them and for the team. So if you're a team of 10, on any given day, you've got 10 people praying and fasting for you, which is a good situation to be in. Okay, if you go to India, or the countries where the spiritual climate is a bit tough and a bit heavy, you need that prayer backup. In fact, there's so many churches out there that have stopped doing missions because it's dangerous. And I'm not joking now. The one time some pastor heard we've gone to India and he was saying, what? How can you go there? It's dangerous. We sent people there and two people died. Okay, so people have experienced terrible illness. People have died on missions. So it's a scary thing. A lot of churches have stopped doing missions because of this incredible resistance in the spirit. So, I mean, looking at the fact that all these teams have gone out, all of them have returned safely, no plane crashes, no car crashes, no serious injury or death or illness. It's an absolute miracle. But we recognize the fact that we have a real enemy out there. And when we go out there, especially in places where it's very dark spiritually, we're literally going to, you know, play on the devil's back door. You know, so it's serious. But the cool, I'm encouraging you to join. So the cool thing is God has kept us and He's protected us, and we haven't had any serious things happen. But now it's one thing to cover the guys in prayer, and we spend a lot of time doing that, and like I said, a lot of even in a corporate intercession for the mission teams at the different church offices. So there's a lot of prayer going into a lot of time, but what we should be doing is just as much time as we spend going on missions and praying for missions, we should spend just as much time and focus on giving thanks to God for every mission trip, for every person that was ministered to, for every time, every miracle that happened, every healing that we saw, every salvation. So that focus of, yes, we're in the team and in the mission and all this stuff, and we're supporting by prayer, but also giving thanks afterwards. And not only for mission teams, and this is the shift we need to make, that whenever God comes through, even as we saw tonight, whenever God does something, whenever God pitches, when God comes through for us, that we stop and we say thanks. Yes, in front of the congregation, but wherever you're at, you stop and make a point of saying, God, You're good. Thank You. You know, to stop everything, press the big pause button in your life and to give thanks to God. And so this is the key. This is the shift we have to make. And you know what? If we make this shift, if you and I can make this shift, and as a body can make the shift, we are well on our way to become mature spiritually. It doesn't matter if you've been saved for 2 months or 20 years. This is a key to spiritual maturity, a place where we can give thanks to God for who He is in our lives and for what He's done. And it's amazing that it's such a simple courtesy, actually, can make such a huge difference. But you're going to see now how this fits together. All right, let's look at the one or two definitions. I haven't put them up there, but definitions of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not gratitude. Okay, it's not thankfulness. Gratitude is a good place to start. That's a it's a state of being. It's an attitude that you have. You're thankful about something. You're grateful about something. But it's not an action. Okay? According to Webster's dictionary, the action of thanksgiving flows out of the attitude of gratefulness or out of the attitude of thankfulness. But Webster actually says the act of giving thanks, so it's an action, and it says a public acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness. And if you look at the rest of the description, it's quite amazing. It very clearly connects thankfulness and giving thanks with God, which is interesting, which is not a Christian dictionary, but this divine goodness is there, and it specifically mentions God as well, so that's cool. But the key here is there's an action. It comes from the state of being grateful, okay, but there is a definite outflow into an action. Are you with me still this morning? Quickly check the person next to you, saying we're going somewhere, we're on our way. And then there's a word in the Old Testament. It's used for thanksgiving. It's called tada. It's like almost like tada, but not exactly like that. But it reminds me of that. It's with an O, tada, and it literally means the lifting or extending of hands in thanks to Him. So it's not a like in the corner quietly. It's a very much a, you know, visible lifting, extending hands, you know, giving thanks to God. And we're going to do some of that a bit later tonight. So the band must be ready, okay, for afterwards. We're going to have church till late. Is it okay? No, I'll be quick. Okay. All right, so now we've all grown in our petitions and supplications, and this is one we've got down. But God desires for us to grow beyond that, to grow beyond the petitions and the supplications, to grow beyond where we just call out when there's problems, okay? And if we get stuck in that place of petitions and supplications, we often experience a frustration. Because as we go along, as we grow in our relationship with God, we experience the frustration of not always seeing answers to our prayers, not always seeing an immediate response. And, you know, we experience frustration in that, you know, I've been trusting God for 6 months now for this promotion, or I've been praying for this thing for 3 years already, and there's just a great frustration because we don't see the response. And another interesting thing is, even if we do see God come through, often we don't really experience the fullness of the blessing, and it doesn't really become ours because we don't do the thanksgiving bit. And it's that thanksgiving bit that we really kind of say hallelujah, thank you God, and we take ownership of the gift. It's like when we come to God, well, when we are born again. It's when you say, thank you Lord, that you died for me. And you make it personal. It's mine. It's mine. It's I've taken hold of that gift. So that's a key that we miss often there, when we get stuck in the supplications and the petitions. Now, and this thanksgiving doesn't only happen when we feel like it. And this is also key, and we'll get to that a bit more later. It's not only a feeling, it's not only when I'm feeling all happy and jumping around and grateful. By the way, we won the tennis. Murray, congratulations guys. Gold medal in the tennis. I have to edit this out. Don't worry. So it's not only when we feel like it. It's not only when we've had a victory or we're excited about the Olympics. It's not only when God has come through for us and we're experiencing breakthrough right now. And in this case, in this specific instance, it's thankfulness and giving thanks is a lot like love. Okay, love is a noun. I mean, it's a feeling. But when it becomes an action, when we express our love for someone by what we do, what we say, how we live, that is when that love becomes powerful. That's when it becomes active. Then it becomes an act of kindness, an act of goodness, act of love, act of caring, you know, serving, whatever it may be. And that is the power in it, is when that love becomes an action. In the same way, Thankfulness cannot stay a feeling. And giving thanks is a bringing action to that feeling of gratitude. Okay, are you with me? Okay. So we need to show it. Just as you and I need to show our love within the people, for the people in our lives, guys. Married guys, and we're not married. Wherever you're at, guys, remember this. We sometimes struggle with this, but you need to make it visible. Okay, I'm preaching it myself as well. Okay, all right. Now, okay, obviously being grateful is a step in the right direction, but from there it has to go into action. And God wants to see an expression. And we're going to look a little bit at this. God wants to see an expression of our gratefulness, expression of our of being thankful. Okay, now we're going to look at one or two places where the things Thanksgiving kind of come from. Thanksgiving comes firstly from a place of revelation or understanding. And sometimes we get this revelation and we come to this place of understanding again out of a point of frustration. Can I, if you stick with me here now. But you know, or maybe you've experienced this, maybe you haven't. I've experienced it to a certain extent, but When I was newly saved, and often it's like this, you know, we're newly saved, we're passionate, we're going for it, and God answers our prayers like this. You pray, you put your faith out, and God comes through. And then you're like amazed, wow, you know, and you ask, and God is there, and you respond, and you pray, and He answers your prayer. And then sometimes it feels like, you know, years down the line, it slows down. And I'm praying, but there's not always a response, and it goes slower, and there's a no, as if sometimes it feels like there's just no answer, there's nothing going on, heaven is closed for the holidays type of thing, and we're praying our heart out and there's nothing, okay? And so we experience this frustration, we're thinking, you know, was it beginner's luck? I remember God answering my prayers, you know, why why is it not happening anymore? What's going on? And if you compare it to a human life, if Abigail, for instance, praise God, she's one now. Okay, not zero. Before, on forms, you had to fill in, you know, what do you write? If it's less than one. Okay, it's difficult for me. But anyway, so she turned one on Tuesday, and we had a big party. Next time we'll have it after hours so that everybody could come. But this time it was for the little ones. Okay. So, but if Abigail at the moment, she still likes her mom's milk. Okay, which is great. And when she wants milk, she communicates that need very specifically. She moans. She's got this moany voice that's arrived this last 2 weeks or so. And she points. She doesn't point at Erna. But she points when she wants something. You know? She points and she moans. And everybody knows what's going on. So this is fine. And, you know, if you can even tantrums a little bit, not seriously yet. I've heard of it, it's called now, the nice word is a baby dance. I've heard there's a different Afrikaans word which describes it quite well, but I can't translate that. But the baby dance, I suppose, is a good one. But now, if she does that now, at this age, it's still relatively acceptable. But say 4 years down the line, if she still wants milk from her mom, it's not going to work. And I was going to say, no, we're not doing milk anymore. We're doing food now and rooibos tea, all kinds of healthy things. And because you're now no longer a baby, you've moved on to something else now. Okay? And also, at the same time, she's going to learn to say please. At the moment, there's no please nowhere, obviously. There's no thank you. There's just, I want milk and I want it now and I get milk and I'm happy. I want food now and I get food and I'm happy. I wake up at night, or well, not as much anymore. I wake up and I want my parent, I want somebody and somebody comes. It's immediate. There's a response there and that's fine. But later on there's going to have to be a please. And there's going to have to be a thank you. And you know, we all learned those magic words from our parents, I hope. Unfortunately, I suppose there are some adults that haven't. Maybe I know one or two. I haven't clicked the magic words. But this is one of the things, you know, you in life out there, you realize, you make the sums, you realize, well, when I'm in a jam, or when I'm in a queue, or when I need something from somebody, a smile and a please and a thank you go miles. They open doors. And these little courtesies actually go a long way. Okay, do you agree? But we have to make the sums, and we have to kind of realize, okay, and Abigail is going to have to realize, please and thank you, and those things are going to be good for me. They're going to do a lot for me, okay? But spiritually, we have to make the same sums. We have to make the sums and realize, okay, there's a few little courtesies around how I relate to God that's going to open doors for me. It's going to go a long way. And this is what we're looking at today. And thanksgiving is one of the keys. And I'm really trusting that tonight we need to, that spiritually we will make a shift and get a part of that, you know, that the Holy Spirit will help us to get this revelation of what it means and what this, the role of it, of this in our lives. Secondly, thanksgiving comes from a place of contentment. Now, I don't know, some people don't like the word, and it's... But you know, part of growing up is coming to realization that although I might want something very badly, I'm willing to do anything, I'm willing to fight for it, I'm willing to go, whatever I have to do, it doesn't mean I'm going to get it. Okay, that's part of growing up, we realize, okay, we come to a place of resignation, okay, this is not going to happen now. And you know, that's just why, you know, we... When a part of growing up, as I mentioned, you have this baby dance thing or this tantrum thing, and for a little bit older children, I've only seen one or two in my life, but they were spectacular. I don't know if you've seen them. The shopping mall ones are apparently the best, because there's an audience. And what I've heard is, you know, there's obviously the break dance thing happening. You know, the little body goes all over the place, and obviously there's screaming happening, and depending on the response, if the response isn't the desired response, the volume goes up. You know, I don't know what else happens, but you know, as dramatic as possible. But when you get to a certain age, you realize, okay, this might have worked when I was two, but now people are looking at me funny and might be calling the guys in the white coats saying, come and pick this guy up because it's just not good. Okay, so obviously, again, there's an age thing here. There's a maturity thing. And as we mature in Christ, it's the same place where we understand and we come to a place of contentment with where I am now. I'm not shouting. I'm not screaming for something. I'm not throwing a tantrum if things don't go my way. We come to a place of contentment. That's a biggie. And we as we grow up, I suppose we don't do those big tantrums anymore. I'm glad about that. But they change. I've heard that one of the big ones these days, I've experienced it a little bit, is the sulk. It's called the big sulk. It's called the ignore you, won't speak to you, won't get anything out of me for a few days type of thing. It's the same thing. It's a tantrum, but it's just a very quiet one. Okay. And the funny thing is, we do this with God as well. When things don't go our way, and God doesn't seem to respond immediately, often we get upset, we sulk, I'm not going to pray anymore, I'm not going to read the word. And the scary thing is, people turn away from God. I'm not going to believe this stuff. People get hurt and offended, and something's gone wrong somewhere. God hasn't come through, and they go into this serious sulk. Okay. You know, you might know people like that. Then suddenly, although they've grown up with Christ and you've seen God move in their life, suddenly they're saying, but now there's no proof. Is there any evidence for this? And it's scary how we go into this kind of sulk thing with God. Now, yeah, obviously that's not a good place to be. And as we mature in Christ, we get over this, okay? Now, resignation is a good place to be. It's a grown-up place to be. Because you stop fighting about stuff. Okay, you stop worrying, you stop striving. It's not because you've been defeated, okay? But it's because you've come to a place of revelation, a place of understanding. And you come to a place where you have a healthy relationship with your past. Okay, now this is the key. Because a lot of us, or many times, people experience that, you know, they're still bound to something that happened in the past, something that happened when you were little, or you know, some in, you know, if we look in a political context in South Africa, in a South African context, a lot of guys still have issues with the whole thing of apartheid and where we've come from and what's been happening, and many of the guys are struggling to get over that. Okay, and obviously there are reasons there, but the guys are bound to the past, and you see it here as well. Some people are still upset with the Germans and still fighting the Second World War, especially the older generation, I suppose. And so we see kind of people that are so bound to the past, they can't move on from that place. And definitely don't move into a place of thankfulness, gratefulness. Are you with me? You see that thing that as we get bound to that thing that happened, we blame everything on that thing. We blame everything on that thing. We don't acknowledge the power of God to deliver us. We don't walk in the deliverance of the cross. We stay bound to that thing. No, it's Fred mentioned that a lot of the guys, even some of the politicians, this is again South African context, but he mentioned that they blame Verwoerd, or when something goes wrong now, they blame one of the guys. I mean, he's long dead and buried, and you want to say, please, guys. And you know, I suppose it's the same here in the European context. Guys get blamed, they're long gone, they're forgotten almost, but still get blamed for everything, you know. Okay, so if we get stuck in the past, we can't move from that place, and we can't come into a place of thanksgiving and a place of gratefulness. Now, on the other side of the coin, we have the place where we get stuck. We don't live in the now. We look at the future the whole time. So this is kind of the other side where you might be fine with your past, everything is cool, made peace with things, but you know, you're looking, you've got, you know, dreams and ambition and plans and, you know, hopes and the future type of thing, all that, which is nothing wrong with that. But when that becomes our only focus, whenever God comes through for you, you're already looking at the next thing. You're never happy with now, never happy with what has happened now, what God has done now. And we're always looking to what's the next thing, what's the next thing I need to acquire, what's the next step in success. And that kind of has the same effect, because we miss the here and the now. And the psalmist actually says there, I don't remember which psalm this is, but he says, stop fighting, stop striving, just be still and know that I'm God. Stop, you know, striving, stop, all, you know, focusing on the past or the present or, the, you know, the past or the future, and just be still and know that He is God, that He is with you, that He is right there. And so this place of contentment is an amazing place. It's a place where we realize, listen, I might not be where I could have been. I might not, you know, I've got some way to go in my spiritual growth. But I'm certainly not where I would have been if it hadn't been for Christ. So there's a celebration of what God has already done. A celebration of the road that we have walked with God. Although we understand that there's some way to go. Are you with me? So there's a place of contentment. Yes, I'm here now. God has done amazing things in my life. God has delivered me, saved me. I've got some way to go still, but hallelujah, I can celebrate. I can be happy right now. I can be content. And where I am and where God has put me now. And this doesn't mean we don't aspire to greatness. It doesn't mean we don't want to get somewhere. I'm not saying all that is wrong. God wants us to aspire to that. But if we don't get to a place of contentment, when we actually reach a place of success or authority or influence, it's crazy what happens. And you've seen it, immature people with a lot of power and authority. We've seen it even in leaders of nations. And it's just terrible that, you know, it's just destruction that happens. So when we've got a place of contentment, we have a reference for thanksgiving. We're happy, we're glad, we're content with where we're at. And from that place, we can actually go into the action of giving thanks. Amen. Are you still alive out there? Okay. I'm going to try not to be too long. You know, offering goes, I think this one was an hour and 20 minutes. So I'm condensing. Okay, let's read from Psalm 35. 18. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. or in another translation says, the great congregation, I will praise you among many people. So give thanks in the great assembly or the great congregation, I will praise you among many people. So we see that there's what Thanksgiving has also got to do with a specific social context in which we do it. Okay, so very briefly, don't surround yourself and don't allow people that are very negative or are continually complaining to suck you into that negative cycle. And if you know somebody like that, if you know someone that's continually moaning about the past or continually dwelling about something and continually going off on that, depending on your relationship with them, I say there maybe there's two main options. One is, if you know them well enough, confront them and say, listen, you got to stop this. You're speaking death, you're dwelling on the past, you're being held in that cycle. You know, you need to stop this. You need to start being grateful and being thankful and giving thanks. And the other option, I suppose, if you don't know them very well, is to avoid them. To say, this is not a bad person, there's nothing wrong with them, but it's not good for me. Okay? You see that thing. So, be aware of that, watch out for that. You trust God for deliverance from that. Amen? Okay. And then Psalm 50, verse 13 to 15. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. And then this is another place that thanksgiving comes from, that thanksgiving happens. And that is in the place of pain, in the place of trouble, in the place of persecution, in the place of hurt. Very powerful place. And when thanksgiving happens in a context like that, we call it the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We call it the sacrifice of praise. And the amazing thing is that God loves us so much that He often allows stuff to happen. He often allows things to go a little bit wrong, wheels to come off a bit. And then He allows us to come to a place where we have an opportunity to grow up spiritually. We have an opportunity to mature. We have an opportunity to make a decision around how we're going to respond to God. Okay. Now, all of us, most of us have this, the worst case scenario, or a few worst case scenarios in the back of our minds. The what if question, and you can fill in the blank. What if the worst thing you can imagine happens? You know, I lose my job and everything falls apart. What if my parents actually get divorced, or, you know, depending on where you're at, we all have these kind of, we don't want to think about it, we're trying to avoid thinking about this what if question, you know, the worst case scenario. And now what happens is, you know, let's take this parents divorce thing. If you maybe some can relate. You've been putting out your faith for it, or whatever it may be that you're putting your faith out for. You've fasted, you've prayed, your home group has prayed. You've really stepped out onto the water, and now it happens. And we hurt, and we're discouraged, and we feel entitled to be hurt and discouraged. We feel entitled to be upset with God, to be angry with God. Okay, we get cheesed off with God when these things happen. And for the perfectionists out there, when things don't go the way we planned, when things turn out wrong and we like get all panicky and we get upset with God. And now what a sacrifice of praise is when you're in that place of, Lord, I'm entitled to be upset. I'm entitled to be discouraged and hurt. When you're in that place of despair, of hurt, of this disappointment, is to stop the bus. To say, okay, stop now, and to make a decision. In that place of whatever it is, it might be a heavy situation, might be very, whatever the situation is, to right there to stop and to say, I choose to give thanks. Lord, I don't understand what's happening. I don't even know why this is happening. I don't even want to start to think about it. I don't understand. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. I'm hurting. I'm vulnerable. But I choose to give thanks. I choose to look back on my life to see the miracles that you've done, and to give thanks. I choose to give you thanks even for what's happening, what you're doing in my life right now. I might not get it. I might not understand. But that's what a sacrifice of thanksgiving is when we don't feel it. When it's actually on the other side. When it's a bad situation. And this story that Fred tells of a couple that I actually know, they had one boy, and then the second one was on the way, and then the most terrible thing happened. The baby was stillborn. So they're in the hospital, in this room, they're broken. You can imagine, they're broken. They've been praying, they've been celebrating, and now there's just despair. And there were one or two people there. I think Fred was there, and one of the guys there got a word, and he said to them, "I feel the Lord is saying now's the time to worship, now's the time to praise and to give thanks." And some of the guys were kind of, you know, "This is dodgy, this is not cool," type of thing. But he says the amazing thing is that people received the word, and they, in that place of pain and disappointment and despair, brokenness, they went on their knees and they started to give praise, started to worship God. And that's a sacrifice of praise. That's where it doesn't make any sense, doesn't feel good, but you know that God is good. You know that He's faithful. We can give thanks what He has done. And he says the amazing thing is that the change that happened there, and the presence of God in that place, and of God covering them and just ministering to them in that vulnerable place, was absolutely amazing. And if I, you know, I can tell you amazing things about how God restored to them and how God brought life and abundance into their lives. Amazing. That is a sacrifice of praise. That is when we're at the end of ourselves, when we're in the middle of our worst case scenario, and it's literally by the act of the will, you do your tada, as the word says, and you go before God and you say, "Lord, I choose to give thanks. I choose to glorify your name. I choose to exalt you because you are worthy and because of what you've done in my life." And then to literally to give thanks for what he's doing and what he has done. And you know, If we're making that choice, if you make the choice to give thanks in a situation like that, you're actually choosing to operate in a different level of spiritual discernment. You're choosing to operate and you're choosing to live by discernment and revelation, and not by physical circumstances. Are you with me? So in that moment, you're choosing to say, "Okay, Lord, I don't see it, but I know you have the bigger picture." And we position ourselves then to see what God sees. We position ourselves to get the bigger picture, to see the purpose of God in that terrible situation. And this is another key of the sacrifice of thanksgiving, is that we position ourselves to see what God sees, to see His will, to see His purpose. And, you know, if you're the Israelites at the Red Sea, you've just been delivered out of Egypt. God has done an amazing miracle, but now you're cornered. You're in front of the sea here, you can't cross. You've got two options. You can go into, you know, kind of amnesia, like we often get. We forget what God has done. We forget the miracles that He's done in our lives. Or you can say, "Yes, God, you are faithful." And you can go into praise and to thanksgiving. And look how God responds to that in their situation. Opens up the waters. And often, you know, as teenagers, some of you might even remember the whole "you owe me" thing. Everybody owes you something. You know, you owe me pocket money or PlayStation or whatever. You, as teenagers, we get this vibe, this entitlement thing going. And then the big, you know, when you go into the working world, it hits you like a ton of bricks. Tax. You know, nobody owes you anything. You got to pay tax. You know, it's like, it's no, you know. Everybody's going to pay tax. So in the same thing spiritually, We need to get over that adolescence. We need to get over that teenager thing of God owes me something. And we need to get into a place of look at what He has done. And a place of thanksgiving and gratitude and praise. If you look at the body of Christ all over the world, there's so many people offended. So many people sitting outside of church, offended with God, got a hurt somewhere. And, yeah, sulking, I suppose. And if you think about it, it's only teenagers spiritually that get offended. If you're in thanksgiving, if you're in a place of gratitude, if you're in a place of contentment, we won't get offended. You hear what I'm saying? There's a place, you know, when we see the way that God sees something, when we experience, when we can give thanks in a situation, there's no way that we're going to get offended in any situation. So we need to get over that. We need to get out of that entitlement thing. We need to get out of that offense-prone place. Amen? Very quiet now. Okay, almost there. The amazing thing of this place of bringing a sacrifice of thanksgiving, this place of contentment, is we learn godly perspective. We learn, we're not wishing away the mountain, we're not wishing away this challenge that faces us, but we look at the situation and we evaluate the situation relative to who God is and what He has done in our lives. Amen? Relative to the miracles that He has already done, the miracle of salvation, the miracle of life that we have. And suddenly this mountain looks different. Suddenly this thing that is in front of us is completely different. Okay. One of the things that the blessing of coming to a relationship with God, I'm almost done, is we don't only have the presence of the Holy Spirit with us, but we get a whole bodyguard of angels. Isn't that cool? Have you thought of that? Guys, a bodyguard. Have you seen people with bodyguards? It's a bit scary sometimes. Big guys, you know, push you out of the way. On the road, it's like motorcycles and police cars around this important person. But in the spirit, it's like that with a believer. When you come to God, He gives His angels charge over you. But the main thing is that this angelic protection, this host of, is kind of activated into a new level when we give thanks. Living in thanksgiving, living in that place of praise, is living in faith. Are you with me? It's putting yourself in a place where you put your trust into the knowledge of God, who you know God is. And the knowledge that God has given His angels charge over you, and giving thanks for that in any situation. You know, when you go into a dark situation, in a difficult situation, knowing that I can't just turn and run. Okay, we often have that kind of flight, you know, we just want to up and run. And the key is to just stick it out and say, okay, Lord, I can't see anything. This is scary. This is dangerous. But I know You're with me. And you just stick around long enough to give thanks to God and to start to see things from His perspective. It's like when you come into a completely dark room, you can't see a thing, and it takes a while for your eyes to adjust. And you realize, wow, there's already, whatever is there that could be dangerous, my angels are already fighting the fight for me. They have gone before me. They are sorting this out. And that is activated by our thanksgiving. It's activated by our putting a faith in who we know God is and in His faithfulness. When you look at the life of Jesus, He says, I only do what I see the Father doing. Okay? And when you look at the life of Christ, He did some amazing things. Do you agree? When you look at that, He says, the latter will be greater than the former. You will do these things and greater things. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about a place where of contentment, a place of thanksgiving, where we can see what God sees. And we can see what God is doing. Are you with me? But you're in a situation, you don't want to, you're afraid maybe, you're scared, you don't know exactly what's going on, but you stick around long enough, and you fix your attitude to a place of thankfulness, so that you can get to a place of seeing what God sees, seeing His perspective, seeing what He's doing in this situation right now. And that is the power of living now. God says now is the accepted time. Now is the place, the time of salvation. Now is the time to be content with where you're at, to rejoice in what God has done, and to actually be a part of what God is doing in that situation. Amen. Okay. And then finally, I wanted to read from Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. This is another thing that happens when we bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving. It brings us into the courts of God. Okay, the house of God, the house of the Lord is one thing. It's when we gather together as a body. The courts of our God is that intimate presence, that intimate place in His presence. And we know we can come to Him just as we are. We know we don't have to be afraid anymore. We know we can come unashamed because of the blood of Jesus. But the thing is, if you're an infant spiritually, if you've just been born again, then you can come with your nappy, whether it be a dirty nappy or not, you can come to God just like that. But as we grow spiritually, we shouldn't come to Him empty-handed. We should come with a sacrifice of thanksgiving. We should come with an expression of the joy that we have in pursuing His purpose. An expression of the joy that we have in walking a road with Him and saying, Lord, look at what You've done. Look at where we've come from. Look at what You've done in my life. And I come to You with thanksgiving and praise, Lord. I can't be silent about this. I come with something. I come with thanksgiving. You know, a lot of us from a South African context will know that your mom taught you when you go visit somebody, you don't go empty-handed. You know, you take something. And you know, I often find myself on the way to somebody, I realize, I don't have any... I sometimes get over it. But with God, it's a thing of, Lord, I come to You, and what I have to give is thanks. What I have to give is to look back on my life and to say, Lord, I rejoice in what You're doing, what You did in my life, what You're doing right now. And and if we look just very briefly, if we look at the life of Jonah, the big turn that happened in his life. You know, he made vows to God as a young man. He said, Lord, I will go to the ends of the earth. I don't know exactly what he said, you know, but many of us do that. We're young and we're zealous for God and we make vows and we say, yes, God, I'm going to go. Just send me. I'm ready. And when the call actually comes and God calls him to go, it's not exactly like he thought it would be. And it turns out the guy that he has to go minister to actually dislikes them. And he's not blessed with this assignment. And he runs in a different direction. He ends up in the belly of the fish, you know the story. And in that dark, dark place of, you know, he realizes, I should be dead. I should be dead right now. This is, and he turns, he makes that shift. And he turns and he comes to a place of thanksgiving. And he just worships God right there in that dark place, in that dangerous place, in that place of almost, I realize now, I should actually be dead now, but I'm not. God is good. And obviously God turns it around and, you know, the fish spits him out at the right spot. But I feel that's maybe his word for some of us tonight. You know, some of us have made promises to God, have made vows as young, zealous Christians. And maybe now where you're at now the call of God is coming and now it's not comfortable. Now it's not convenient. We've got families and children and bills to pay and jobs and all kinds of things that are very important. I just feel maybe that's for somebody. That we come back to a place of thanksgiving and praise and be able to respond. And that's the cool thing of that place of contentment, is that God can at any time come in and say, let's go this way. Let's do this. Because we're at peace, we're in a place of rest. Amen. Please stand with me this evening. This evening I want to encourage us, if the band could come up briefly. We're just going to worship one song. Not going to go for very long. We've gone over time already, but a little bit. For us to trust God to make a shift. And if somebody can help me with the communion stuff, it'd be very helpful. Thanks, Alan. In the kitchen. Thanks, Thomas. So if some of us need to make a shift, some of us need to repent that we've been living in the past, that I've been bound by the past. Some of us need to say, Lord, okay, I'm going to stop striving and chasing dreams every day. I'm going to become content with where I'm now. I'm going to become content with what You're doing in my life right now. and the miracle what you're doing in my life right now. And then for the big thing for us, I believe, is that we make a shift. Make a shift in the understanding of how we approach God. Make a shift in the and just the way we celebrate what God has done. The way that we recognize that the prayer of thanksgiving is such an absolute critical part of our relationship with Him. Are you excited about that? So what we're going to do is we're going to take communion. Actually, maybe we should... Let's hand out the communion first, and we can take it from there. So basically, in a moment, we're going to take communion, and then we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate God. We're going to give thanks to Him. And we're going to get loud, okay? We're going to get out of everybody's comfort zone. Are you happy with that? Okay, I wanted to do it one by one, but for time's sake, you can be lucky. You can be glad. We're all going to do it together. Okay, let's hand those out. So if you've experienced this, if you've experienced that the way that God responds to your prayers has changed, and you're experiencing frustration in your prayer life, and you're in a place of frustration in terms of maybe things that you're trusting God for, various different things, take this opportunity to say, Lord, I want to make a shift. I don't want to live in the past. I don't want to be bound by that thing, those things that have happened. I don't want to be bound by the future even. I want to rejoice in You now, today. I want to come to a place of contentment. I don't want to enjoy the moment with You, in Your presence, knowing that You're with me, knowing that You're faithful. Thanks. So if you've experienced that frustration, then now is the opportunity for you to come before God. Say, Lord, I need to change my heart. I need You to change my heart. I need You to change the way I think, the way I operate, the way I look at my situation. Give me a godly perspective. Lord, help me to come to a place of contentment that I can see what You see. That I can see what You're doing in this situation right now. Has everybody got communion? Okay. So let's take communion, let's celebrate the cross, and then after that we're going to all together, just for 20 or 30 seconds, at the top of our lungs, we're just going to give thanks. We're going to do the Tada. We're going to lift our hands, and we're going to give praise to God, okay? If this is the first time you're going to lift your hands in church, praise God. But this is a Tada we're doing, okay? Okay, let's just... Oh, Father, we thank You for... that we can celebrate the cross this evening, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that this is the most... this significant, glorious moment in all of history, Lord, when You gave Your only Son, the Son that You love, Lord, You gave Him, and Jesus, You endured the cross, You despising the shame, Lord, You endured the torture and the pain so that we can have life, Lord, so that You won the victory, oh God, and that is what we rejoice in tonight, Lord. We look at our lives, God, and we realize, God, if it wasn't for You, if it wasn't for Your love and Your grace toward us, where would we be today, Father? We celebrate, God, Your goodness and Your faithfulness in our lives, God. We come today, Lord, and we give thanks because You are good, Lord. And as we celebrate the cross, Lord, we thank You for this bread that is a symbol of Your body that was broken for us, Lord Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for the stripes that You bore, the torture that You endured, so that we might have life, that we might have abundance of health, Lord. And this evening, we take a hold of that again, the health and the life and the provision that we have in the broken body of Jesus Christ. And as we eat together, I thank You, Lord, for health. I thank You for healing right now in every body in this place. I thank You for complete restoration, God, by the broken body of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Let's eat together. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You gave Your Son, that Your Son, Lord Jesus, Your blood was spilled on the cross, Lord, and it ran down and it's soaked into the ground, Lord. And even today, it's there. It speaks of Your redemption. It speaks of Your deliverance, Your healing, your salvation that is in the blood, the life that is in the blood, God. And tonight we celebrate it, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that your blood is sufficient, Lord. Thank you that you have saved us from the pit, Lord. You brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light, Lord. You've redeemed us. You've made us righteous, Lord. You've paid for all our sin, God, that we might have a relationship with the Father. We thank you, God, that your blood is not only sufficient for us, God, for every person in this place, but it's sufficient for our families, Lord. It's sufficient for our communities, Lord. It's sufficient for our colleagues. God, is sufficient for our city and our nation, Lord, and the nations of the world. The blood of Christ has paid the price once and for all, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you did not avoid it, that you went through with it for the joy that was set before you, Lord. And right now we celebrate it. We take a hold of it again, Lord. We thank you for it, God. We thank you for the power of the cross in our lives, the power of the blood at work in our lives, in Jesus' name. Let's drink together. Before we worship, I'm just going to do one song, but before we worship, I want us to do the Tada, okay? If you, wherever you're at, if you could stand with us, we're going to put our hands in the air. Don't worry about the person next to you. Don't worry about what anybody will think, but as loud as you can, give thanks to God for whatever you're thankful for. Amen. If it is for your salvation, whatever it is, I just trust God for release in the Spirit, for a place where we just, without any inhibition, without worrying about the past or the future, we can stop and say, God, thank you. So wherever you're at, don't worry about the person next to you. I'm going to count to three and we're going to go big. Okay.